This archived broadcast of Janet Meffer Today is brought to you by Provident Films and Affirm Films movie, Overcomer, coming to the small screen in time for Christmas. Overcomer, available December 17th on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD.
This is Janet Meffer Today.
Our confidence is in Christ alone.
Are we going to stand with God, come what may?
If the Word of God says it, I believe it!
And that's the way it is.
And now, here is Janet Meffer.
Thank you so much for joining us again. In Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ." In Acts 17, Scripture speaks of the Berean Jews, those who received the word with all readiness and searched the Scriptures daily. It says, "Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examine the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true." Hebrews 5:14 says, "But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." This is discernment. And given all that the Bible says about discernment, about examining all things by the Word of God, and the necessity of testing the spirits to see whether they are of God, because false teachers will come into the church, it's really amazing how many Christians still see biblical discernment as something bad, but the Bible clearly commands it. What is it, though? What is biblical discernment, and how do we best discern not only false teachers and unbiblical claims, but understand why discernment is necessary for maintaining the purity of the gospel and preventing the church from drifting into apostasy? There's a lot there. We're going to tackle it all today with Mike Gendron, who's founder of Proclaiming the Gospel. And it's just wonderful to welcome you back to the program. Mike, how are you?
Well, I am blessed, Janet, and it's always a privilege to be on your show because of your unwavering stand for the truth of God's word. So this particular topic is near and dear to my heart, of course, because of the deception that I actually came out of. The Lord delivered me out of deception 35 years ago, and it's for that reason I have a strong desire to contend earnestly for the faith.
Yes, that's right. So let's talk definition here right at the outset so people know what we're talking about. There may be new Christians listening who say discernment. What are you talking about exactly? How would you explain what it is to be biblically discerning?
Well, it's amazing how often it appears in Scripture. The Hebrew word ben and the Greek word diakrino are used hundreds of times throughout the Old and New Testament to make distinctions. That's what discernment is, to make distinctions, to separate things at their points of difference. And so when you look at the Bible, there's so many points of distinction and so many antithetical terms that are used. We see the distinction between good and evil, between truth and lies, the difference between justification and condemnation. The Lord is our advocate, but we also have an adversary. We see the distinction between light and darkness, being alive in Christ and spiritually dead in our sins. We see the distinction between being in Adam or being in Christ, believers and unbelievers. We see a distinction between sheep and goats, between the narrow road and the broad road, between being free in Christ and in bondage to sin. We see a distinction between those who are on their way to heaven and those who are on their way to hell. And we also see a distinction between unity and division, between God's way and man's way, and even between the doctrines of God and the doctrines of demons. And so it really is important in this time of great deception that we do have discernment. And we do see that many things in Scripture are painted black and white. Many people today, though, would want to blur the distinctions and paint them gray.
Oh, for sure. You know, when you were giving those great definitions there, one of the things that popped into my head was that quote from Charles Spurgeon, where he said, "Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong. It is knowing the difference between right and almost right." So in other words, discernment really does take training, doesn't it? You're not just automatically going to be able to discern the subtleties, I would say, of deception, because deception, by definition, can be very stealth.
Well, you're right. It's something that we need to discipline ourselves to do. And when we look at the lack of discernment in the church of today, it's often because people are not getting truth from the pulpit. And if people aren't hearing the truth the faithful preaching of God's word, then they're not going to be able to discern what is false. And so it really takes discipline to abide in God's word so that we can examine everything and test everything to find out what is true, what is false, what is good, and what is evil.
That's exactly right, Mike. So who and what are we to discern specifically? Somebody listening saying, well, I mean, what does it look like to discern, in other words, as a Christian? How much of this should you do, and how does it work?
Well, the Bible gives us a lot of different areas where we need to test different things. In fact, the exhortation is to test everything. You open the program with the verse out of Acts 17:11. We are to test every man's teaching. The Bereans received the word with great eagerness, but they examined the scriptures daily to test the veracity of an apostle's teaching. And so right there, if an apostle comes under the scrutiny of scripture, then every teacher must come under the same scrutiny. We're also called to test prophecy. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul writes, "Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good." And then we also see in 1 John 4:1 that we are to test every spirit.
Yes.
John writes, "Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." Interesting enough, we are called to test our leaders. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, Paul writes, "These men must also first be tested, then let them serve as deacons if they are beyond reproach." And so another way to look at leaders is to test them before they're placed in their positions of leadership. We're also called to test every other Christian. In 2 Thessalonians 3, Paul writes, "If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with them." But probably the most important is to test ourselves. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 13:5 exhorts us to test ourselves to make sure we're in the faith. And Janet, you know there are many false professions in our church today, many professing Christians who have never been born again. And so this is a tragic form of deception because people have this comfort level that they're really Christians because they may have repeated a prayer or walked an aisle or raised a hand, but maybe they never have repented and believed the gospel, which is the only saving response to salvation.
Right. So as you're looking across the landscape, there are many things I want to talk about regarding what you just said, because you just listed some fantastic points that I want to get to in more detail. But when you're looking across the landscape of evangelicalism, Mike, where do you think that discernment is most needed? Out of all those things, clearly we need to do them all. But where is the tipping point that we're living under right now that needs discernment?
I believe that the most important area would be to test every teacher. We have so many false teachers that have invaded our church today under the umbrella of professing Christianity. And deception is fertile ground for false teachers if people don't know the truth and they're easily deceived by these false teachers. And if people don't know the truth and they don't know how to contend earnestly for the faith against these false teachers. But more than ever, I think we need to examine every teacher now, because the Lord Jesus said the last days would be marked by great deception. There would be false teachers and false Christ and false prophets that come on the scene. And we are in that season where we are right before the Lord comes again for his church. And so this growing deception will eventually lead to a growing apostasy and ultimately the unity of a one-world church that will worship Antichrist. And so I think more than ever, we need to test every man's teaching with the Word of God.
I agree with you on that, and I want to pick up on this when we come back, but it's interesting, Mike, one of the things I want to get into is when we test every teacher, every pastor, everybody who claims to speak for God, Scripture does talk about the fact that we need to test what they're teaching against the Word of God, but there's also Jesus' reference to how we discern in terms of fruit. And let's get into that when we come back. You're listening to Janet Mefford today. My guest, Mike Gendron. We're talking about discernment, deception, and apostasy. We'll be right back.
Maybe I can just have my baby. It don't matter what nobody says.
This is the end of the story of a young mom who planned to end her pregnancy but chose life after visiting a preborn center. Preborn steps into the lives of hurting young women who are being told that a preborn baby is not a life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country and the direct answer to Planned Parenthood, helping young moms choose life.
I feel like it was meant for me to have this baby. This is something God gave me for a reason.
You can be a part of choosing life with young hurting women across the country. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today to help save 400 babies by the end of 2019. For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. And now, through a match, your gift of $140 will actually help save 10 babies instead of 5. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com.
From Provident Films and Affirm Films comes Overcomer, coming to DVD and Blu-ray in time for Christmas.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
Overcomer. Starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire. Available now on digital. Coming to Blu-ray and DVD December 17th.
Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Well, right now is the only time of year you can do anything about it. So make the switch to Liberty HealthShare. As a healthcare sharing ministry, Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. So you can pick your program, choose your own doctors and hospitals, and choose when you sign up. They have programs for singles, couples, and families, all with no contracts, starting at only $199 per month. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/JMT. That's libertyhealthshare.org/JMT.
You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today talking about discernment, deception, and apostasy. Mike Gendron, my guest, founder of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry, a wonderful ministry. You can check them out at proclaimingthegospel.org. And we were talking about the need for discernment. Mike, before we went to the break, one of the things that I think is so important, as you pointed out, I think you're dead on about this, that maybe the most important issue we need to drive home to Christians is the need to test our teachers. And I think about the two different fronts on which we can achieve that. One is testing what they teach to see if it is in line with the Word of God. But I also think about what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 7 when we're talking about how we know a good tree, and we know a good tree by good fruit, and we know it's a bad tree if there's bad fruit. Talk about this important thing of testing our teachers by both doctrine and by fruit. How would you instruct a Christian on discerning that?
Oh, I believe that there's three kinds of teachers that we see in professing Christianity today. And one of the ways to discern who the good teachers are from the bad teachers is to test their fruit. I would place some of the preachers in a category that preach the whole counsel of God. They exhort in sound doctrine, and they refute those who contradict. Those are the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 4:2. And so if your listeners are blessed with a pastor or teacher that fits into that category, they are considered blessed people, because these teachers are on the endangered species list. We get calls all the time, where can I find a solid Bible church that teaches sound doctrine? But unfortunately, there's another category of teachers, and it's those who avoid the offense of the gospel and cater to man's desires. And I think a perfect example of that would be Joel Osteen down in Houston, who supposedly has the largest church in America now, and he avoids the offense of the gospel because he wouldn't be as a popular preacher if he talked about the holiness of God and the sinful of man and their need for a Savior. But then in another category, we have preachers who secretly introduce destructive heresies and malign the way of truth. And unfortunately, there are many under the umbrella of professing Christianity that fit in that category as well.
Right.
And I can only think of T.D. Jakes of the Oneness Pentecostal movement that denies the Trinity. And so, unfortunately, many of these preachers and teachers that I've mentioned in categories 2 and 3 are teachers that have books out in the Christian bookstores are overflowing with books by these preachers in categories 2 and 3. And that's because those are the books that sell. Very few Christians want sound doctrine, but they want their ears tickled and they want to feel good about their position. And so they actually buy these books to build up their egos.
Well, right. Here's part of the problem, too. I think this all fits together. When you're talking about books that Christians prefer to read and they're not so much into doctrine, they're more into what makes me feel good, maybe, or is kind of a self-help sort of book. Isn't this driven by the same thing that ails the church in general that would lead the church to not like discernment? And here's what I mean by that. When you have people who are more on the emotional spectrum and saying, this is what Jesus means to me, Jesus is my savior, but he's my good buddy. I mean, we hear sometimes people talking this way in sort of an irreverent way about Jesus. Maybe their worship is sloppy. Their doctrine is not very clarified. They don't know. It's basically Jesus and me. You know, Jesus and I are good buddies and we get along and I pray the prayer and I'm saved and everything like that. Those tend to be, though, the sorts of Christians who get mad if a Mike Gendron comes along and says that's not biblical. And we have a lot of pushback. Do you believe that the pushback against discernment is primarily due to the fact that we do have a run wild emotionalism in some circles of evangelicalism?
Well, you're absolutely right, Janet. In fact, we're living in a time where tolerance is considered the most important virtue in the church. And so a lot of people are willing to tolerate false teachers and false doctrine. And doctrine has become a very divisive word, which it is. But oftentimes people want to avoid doctrine. They want to seek unity and just to love everyone and suppress doctrinal truth. And so tolerance has been replaced, or absolute truth has actually been replaced by tolerance today. And unfortunately, it's a breeding ground for false teachers, because when you tolerate anything, then you have an acceptance of false gospels, and that produces doctrinal confusion, which is now widespread throughout Christianity. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit about discernment not being popular. Well, those who exercise discernment are not the most popular people in the church. They're often labeled as unloving and divisive and intolerant. Yep. But yet, those are the characteristics of the Lord Jesus. He was not tolerant of any other doctrine. He said, I am the only way to the Father. And he dealt with absolute truth. And so he refuted those who were in error. And so we need to do the same. We need to recognize that when Jesus ascended into heaven, he passed the baton to his church, and we are to defend the glory and honor of our Lord Jesus Christ and his gospel. And the only way we can do that is to point out error and those who are compromising the gospel. It's not a loving position, but it's something we need to do.
Yeah, we sure do. So let me ask you a question, Mike. If you have, and the reason I'm raising this issue is because I've seen it in the last couple of years cropping up more and more. It will be a teacher, for example, whose doctrinal statement is perfectly good, perfectly orthodox. You go through each and every theological point in the doctrinal statement, and the doctrinal statement has no problems. But you tend to notice the life of that teacher, and the life of the teacher doesn't seem to line up with the doctrine. How do you advise a Christian to discern the fruit issue? In other words, going back to Matthew chapter 17, where the Lord said, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. How do you discern if somebody is a false prophet if they have a good doctrinal statement?
Yeah, oftentimes doctrinal statements are not followed by the leadership of the church. And when you examine the fruit of a teacher, you're actually examining those who follow him, and you're looking at them with discernment, and you're asking yourselves, are these people walking the talk? Are they actually doing what they say that they believe? You know, James said, if you hear the word and you don't do what it says, you're deceiving yourself. And so those who are doers of the word will be normally people who sit under solid biblical teaching, and they're exhorted every day to be walking in Christ's likeness and to be separate from the world.
Yes.
And so it's a good way to examine a true teacher is by examining the people that follow him.
That's good. That's really good. Well, and for those who have never been in a church where they did have the Bible taught, this can be a circular problem in a way, because you're never going to be told how to discern by a teacher who doesn't want you to discern. So they don't discern. I mean, so you're caught in this cycle of not discerning because you don't know you're supposed to discern because you're not getting your preacher to teach you how. Is that not also part of the equation, that a good, godly, biblical teacher will encourage you to be discerning?
Well, you're right. It will be, there will be an exhortation, because a good Bible teacher is going to give you the whole counsel of God. And there will be exhortations to have discernment, to practice discernment. You know what's worse than a Christian who doesn't practice discernment is one who has it but refuses to contend earnestly for the faith. And we are called to defend the faith and defend the gospel, because what hope does the unbelieving world have if we allow compromised gospels to go forth? And I believe that that's why some of these preachers are so popular today. It's because they're avoiding the offense of the gospel.
Yeah.
They're denying the fact that the gospel is exclusive. It dares to say that all other faiths are false. And they're also saying that the need for a Savior is not so much a response with repentance and faith, but it's simply to acknowledge the Christ as Savior and not really have a willingness to repent, to turn from your sin, and to turn to Christ in righteousness. And so I think that the Joel Osteens of the world and the many seeker-friendly pastors that are in our churches now, if you examine their fruit, you will see that most of the people that follow them do not know the Word of God. And when you don't know truth and you don't know error, and so you're easily deceived and open to deception. You know, Janet, if you don't stand for anything, you'll end up falling for everything. And that's really where we stand with this exhortation for discernment. We need to stand for the truth of God's Word and encourage others to do the same.
We do. What do you do about all of these professing Christians, though, who don't know the Word of God and don't feel any drive to become better Bible students? That's something that I hear about a lot. People say Christians aren't reading their Bibles. What do you do about that?
Well, we identify people that go to seeker-friendly churches that are not being fed the whole counsel of God. And one of the best things you can do is to invite them to your church where the Word of God is being preached faithfully. And there's an exhortation for Christ-likeness and an exhortation to be faithful to the Great Commission. And so that's one of the things we can do. But we also do neighborhood Bible studies. We reach out to our neighbors, and we have a very spiritual neighborhood. Many people are very spiritual and they go to different churches, but we have them over so that we can help them grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord by teaching them the whole counsel of God. So those are just a couple of practical ways we can help people that don't have discernment and aren't getting a steady diet of God's Word.
Yeah, that's a really good idea, especially when you're talking about your neighborhood Bible study, because we're surrounded, many of us, by non-Christians or maybe cultural Christians who do not understand how to use the Bible as a sword and to be fed by the Word of God, and maybe don't go to churches where they're hearing the whole counsel of God. That's a great way, Mike, to reach out to people like that. When we come back, Mike Gendron with me, and we'll talk a little bit more about this deception and apostasy in the church. Stay with us. You're listening to Janet Meffer Today. This archived broadcast of Janet Meffer Today is brought to you by Provident Films and Affirm Films movie, Overcomer, coming to the small screen in time for Christmas. Overcomer, available December 17th on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD.
This is Janet Meffer Today. And now, here's your host, Janet Meffer.
We are back on Janet Meffer Today. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. That's what the Word of God tells us. We're talking about discernment, deception, and apostasy today with Mike Gendron, founder of Proclaiming the Gospel. And by the way, be sure to check out Mike's DVDs on the death of discernment and the best kept secret in the church. You can find those at proclaimingthegospel.org. So, Mike, let's talk about deception a little bit. One of the things that you have said is the growing apostasy among pastors and denominations is indeed widespread. That might sound a little alarmist to certain listeners. Defend that a little bit and explain why you think there is a growing apostasy. What are some specifics of that?
Well, first of all, we know that the apostasy will continue to grow. It's actually been growing for 2,000 years. It'll culminate at the midpoint of the tribulation period. But there's been two streams of Christianity operating side by side now for 2,000 years. You have the apostolic church, which is made up of born-again Christians who believe the gospel and who, for the most part, earnestly contend for the faith. And we know that those who stand for the truth will be hated and persecuted by the world. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus. But then we have another stream of Christianity, and that's the apostate church. How do we know it's been operating for 2,000 years? Because in 1 John chapter 2, John said they went out from us because they were never part of us. Had they been part of us, they would have remained with us. And So what John could have said was they went out from us because they were never born of the Spirit. Had they been born again, they would have remained with us. So they departed for a false brand or apostate Christianity. And so these people believe another gospel. They either reject or depart from the faith. And for the most part, they will be loved by the world. And so we see this growing apostasy that will ultimately culminate with the rapture of the church, and the only church left will be the apostate church. And then we know from biblical prophecy there'll be a unification of the apostate church with the other religions of the world that will one day worship Antichrist. So more than ever, it's important to contend for the faith against apostasy and to recognize that it has indeed invaded our churches. I think Paul addressed the issue of apostasy in the second letter to Timothy. He actually shows the progressive nature of apostasy. In the beginning, they turn away from apostolic teaching. And Janet, that's the nature of apostasy. It's departing from the faith.
Right.
And so people may have head knowledge, but the head knowledge never reached the heart. And so in the end, they depart from the faith. They depart from apostolic teaching. They end up teaching error mixed with truth. They oppose the truth. And ultimately, they depart from the faith. And so it doesn't happen overnight. We can see it is progressive as people begin to depart from the authority of God's word and start following either false teaching or religious traditions.
Yeah. Now, one of the things that I think has to be brought up is the LGBT issue. Obviously, homosexuality is a huge issue. You have a whole group of people who are trying to rewrite the Bible and say there's such a thing as a gay Christian. It's ridiculous. You can't be simultaneously of the dark and of the light simultaneously. And I say that recognizing that people do struggle, but to be saved means that you forsake sin. You have these denominations now that are ordaining gay clergy, welcoming unrepentant homosexuals into the congregation, performing so-called same-sex marriages. And you also have, and I think this is not completely unrelated, but one of the things you pointed out is the thing about ordaining female pastors. I have been shocked, really, to see the growth in that in evangelicalism. There seems to be more and more of this idea that we should have women in the pulpit. And I'm thinking to myself, but you're not getting that from the Bible.
Well, it's true. And that's, again, the sign of apostasy. It's putting aside the supreme authority of God's word and starting to follow religious traditions. And so that's the first step into apostasy. And I would encourage any of your listeners, if you're sitting under a female pastor, that you get up and leave, because that is not a biblical position, nor is the position of ordained homosexuals, or if your church is allowing or tolerating homosexuals to be members of the church, and it's time to get up and leave. But I would encourage people before they leave the church to lovingly confront the leadership of the church with a Bible in hand and to show them from Scripture that they are departing from the truth of God's Word. And it's a very dangerous position to take when you depart from the Word of God.
That's good. But Mike, a lot of people say, it's not going to end well for me. If I go to my church leadership, they're not going to listen to me. They're going to get mad at me. I'm going to end up having to leave my church. There are all kinds of Christians who have done that and said, you know, ultimately it was good that I found out how much they were against what the Bible said because I knew it was time to find a new church. But that can be a very daunting thing because you know you're heading into a confrontation that may be extremely unpleasant. What sort of encouragement would you give to Christians who are in that situation?
Well, I would encourage them to at least try because sometimes they may be surprised that maybe the leadership was not aware that what they were doing goes directly against the Word of God. I've actually had experiences in my 28 years in ministry where I've been preaching at a particular church and I have unveiled the unbiblical practices of evangelism. And at the end of my message, the pastor has come up and he has told the congregation that he was under strong conviction that what I just presented was the Word of God. Mm. And he's repenting now and he wants to have the church hold him accountable. So this happened twice within a 3-week period, once in Boston and once in Munster, Texas. So I say that just to encourage people that oftentimes pastors maybe following religious traditions and not aware that they're going against Scripture. So the best thing to do is to at least try. That's what we're exhorted to do. And we need to recognize that our pastors and teachers are not on a pedestal. They're our brothers in Christ. And so we are equal with them. The Word of God must be our supreme authority. And if a church is not willing to submit to the supreme authority of Scripture, then it's probably best that you end up leaving that church and finding one that does.
See, I think you've touched on something extremely significant when you just said that, Mike, because that is the difference between what you characterized as the apostolic church versus the apostate church. When you use the Word of God and you are exhorting somebody, you're drifting away from the Word of God on this issue, if they are under the Word of God, they will come back, right? Maybe not immediately, but they will think about what you said and they will come back under the authority of God because that's what they actually believe. It is the apostate church that when you go to that apostate church and say, this is not biblical, that they will reject it out of hand, or worse, they will twist the Scriptures. I mean, you see this with the prosperity preachers, for example, who love talking about touch not the Lord's anointed. I mean, and that's in the Bible, but that's not the proper application of that verse. You're not supposed to get out of biblical discernment simply because you can pull out verses and twist them, but that's something people need to be aware of.
Well, you're so right, and we have to recognize that if a church is unwilling to submit to the supreme authority of Scripture, then that it's easy for error to creep in. And, you know, heresies don't just come into the church overnight. It always starts with a little leaven. And if there's no one checking leaven at the door, then that will eventually blossom into full-fledged error. Mm. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a pastor's responsibility is not only to teach the Word of God, but also to protect the sheep.
Amen.
And so if he's allowing error into the church coming in unchecked, then he's not protecting the sheep from the deception that's coming in. So more than ever, we need to pray for our elders to keep error out of the church and that they would remain doctrinally sound.
Yeah, so true. Ephesians 6 comes to mind. We have to be ready to stand in the evil day with the armor of God on us because we really are in a spiritual battle and there are a lot of people who are caught in the midst of it. We need to be discerning at all times. We are talking with Mike Gendron about discernment, deception, and apostasy. We're going to come back to the conversation after this break. You were listening to Janet Mefford Today. We'll be back in a moment. Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasound sessions in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the baby's heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
When I'm sitting there, the lady is giving me my ultrasound. She's like making these weird faces. She's like, it's two. I just start crying. I can't.
And sometimes the blessing is doubled. Would you join with Preborn and Janet Mefford today to help save 400 babies by the end of the year? For $140, you can sponsor 5 ultrasounds and help save 5 babies from abortion. And now through a match, your gift will be doubled. To donate, dial 855-402-BABY. That's 855-402-2229. Or there's a banner to click at janetmefford.com. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? Well, right now is the only time of year you can do anything about it. So make the switch to Liberty HealthShare. As a healthcare sharing ministry, Liberty HealthShare is not insurance. So you can pick your program, choose your own doctors and hospitals, and choose when you sign up. They have programs for singles, couples, and families, all with no contracts, starting at only $199 per month. Go to libertyhealthshare.org/JMT. That's libertyhealthshare.org/JMT.
From Provident Films and Affirm Films comes Overcomer, coming to DVD and Blu-ray in time for Christmas.
What have you allowed to define you?
When you find your identity in the one who created you, it'll change your whole perspective.
Overcomer. Starring Alex Kendrick and Priscilla Shire. Available now on digital. Coming to Blu-ray and DVD December 17.
You're listening to Janet Mefford Today. And now, here's Janet.
We are back on Janet Mefford Today. My guest is Mike Gendron, founder of Proclaiming the Gospel Ministry. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, proclaimingthegospel.org. As I mentioned before, you can check out Mike's DVDs on the subjects of the death of discernment and the best kept secret in the church by visiting proclaimingthegospel.org. One of the things that I think is so essential for people to remember in all of this, Mike, as we've been discussing discernment and deception and apostasy, is what you've said, that the critical issue in the church today is the purity of the gospel. Why do you say that? Why is that the critical issue in the church today?
Because that is where Satan is attacking Christianity with the most, I think, determined effort. He recognized the gospel as what sets captives free from his power. It also sets captives free from the power of sin. And so the attack on the gospel has been going on for over 2,000 years. We need to recognize that the true gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes it, and therefore it's the greatest news that anybody could ever hear. And I think where the compromise comes in is when people add to the finished work of Christ. We need to recognize that the gospel is based on history. I mean, this event took place 2,000 years ago. The gospel is about one person. The virgin birth of Christ, his perfect life, his substitutionary death, and his glorious resurrection from the dead. All of this took place in a 33-year period, and so anything that is added to what Christ did 2,000 years ago becomes another gospel. Right. And so there's two ways the gospel is being compromised today. People are adding requirements to it, such as you need to be baptized, or you need to have church membership, or you need to do good works, or you need to practice indulgences. And then there's another way it's being compromised, and that's by taking away the essentials of the gospel. And as we mentioned earlier, the only saving response to the gospel is repentance and faith.
Right.
And so many people today believe you can be saved without repentance.
Okay, now, for a lot of people, they'll hear that last sentence you just said and say, what? There are Christians who believe you can become a Christian and be saved without repenting? How in the world can they teach that?
Yeah, it's amazing, but the first command of our Lord Jesus is found in Mark 1:15. He began his earthly ministry with the command, repent and believe the gospel.
Yeah.
And repentance is a change of mind. It's from the Greek word metanoia. So if you're believing a false way or a false gospel, you must change your mind when you're confronted by the truth of the gospel in order to believe the true gospel. And repentance usually means letting go of all the things that you've been doing to try and save yourself and to put all of your trust and hope and faith in the sufficiency of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's really good, Mike. So now when you and I have been discussing this issue of the growing apostasy in the church and the need for biblical discernment, what would be an example, just to get into specifics, what would be an example of something a Christian could do to exercise biblical discernment in order to not be hoodwinked by a false teacher?
Well, the first thing they need to do is keep themselves from error. We're all accountable to God for knowing, understanding, and believing His Word. So the best way to keep themselves from error is to abide in God's Word. I think another practical way is to minister to others to ensure that they're on the narrow path to life. We just love to ask questions. Where do you go to church? How does your church teach that you have any hope of going to heaven? That opens a great conversation. And then we almost probably, we need to ask as we're talking about other churches and as we meet people, ask them, what doctrinal truth is being denied in your church? Is there any doctrinal truth being rejected, anything being twisted or ignored? And this just opens up a great conversation, and I really don't know why more Christians are not more faithful to the Great Commission, because it is the greatest news anybody will ever hear. Yep. And I know that if I were being deceived by a false or compromised gospel, I would want someone to lovingly confront me with the truth. And so I just hope that your listeners would really take the Great Commission seriously and recognize that you're giving people the greatest news about the greatest gift they could ever receive. And in order to find out where they stand, we have to ask questions about what they believe and whether or not they're really believing the true and uncompromised gospel.
Excellent. One of the things that also needs to be discussed, I think, briefly, Mike, is the dangers of discernment. I mean, I've seen this sometimes, well-meaning Christians, and I'm sure that I'm guilty of this as well. You're so zealous for the truth that sometimes you're discerning people in a bad way. You're failing to speak the truth in love. And Scripture says we have to discern in a loving way, a gentle way, a gracious way. All of these things are true. What do you say to the Christian who discerns, and before they go to discern, what sort of character that needs to come alongside?
Well, Janet, I'm so glad you asked that question, because discernment has become a very negative subject within Christianity today, for the very reason that you described, that there's a lot of discernment ministries that are not practicing discernment with love and compassion for those who do not know the truth. And so more than ever, we need to have the right motivation. Number one, we need to have a desire to defend the glory and honor of our great God and Savior. And in doing that, we need to approach people with love and compassion.
Yeah.
And we can't argue anyone into heaven, and that's oftentimes what happens with discernment ministries. They end up arguing back and forth, not recognizing the need for humility. They don't understand that God hates pride but gives grace to the humble. And so we need to approach people with humility, with love and compassion, recognizing that our desire is for them to know the truth.
Good. That's good, that you're not just taking the club of the Bible and bashing people over the head with it, but that you really love them. And you know, this is the thing. We're always having to correct. And you mentioned before, one of the things the Bible tells us we need to test is to test ourselves. And it seems that we would have to be doing that, not only to test ourselves, examining ourselves to see whether or not we're in the faith, but also to examine ourselves as we are being discerning and saying, are we really doing this with the love of Jesus Christ?
Amen. That's the most important, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the best way to do that is to ask questions. You know, unbelievers don't want to be preached at, and those who are embracing false doctrines, you know, we just have to approach them with love and compassion, just pointing out the errors and hoping that they will submit to the authority of Scripture.
Yeah, that's right. I quoted Hebrews 5:14 at the beginning of the program, Mike, which says solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. What sort of advice would you give to Christians about practicing discernment, training themselves to discern good and evil? What would be some practical steps to take in order to become more biblically discerning?
Well, I think we just talked about it. Never compromise the truth, but lovingly confront error with a humble spirit. More than ever, we need to abide in God's word. Jesus said, that's the mark of a true disciple. If you abide in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So we can not only practice that, but encourage others to do that. But also, we need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. You know, if we do nothing, all we're doing is helping the adversary, Satan. Yeah. Satan wants us complacent and apathetic and indifferent. And so if we really belong to the Lord, we're going to lovingly confront people in their error and proclaim the glorious gospel of grace. And another practical step I think we can all take is to contend earnestly for the faith. You know, that's the exhortation Jude gave in the third verse of his epistle. And he didn't say contend passively or contend whenever you feel like it, but it's an ongoing battle for truth. You know, ultimately, we're in a battle between the lies of the devil and the truth of God's word, and what's at stake are the souls of those who are being deceived, and we need to contend earnestly for the faith. And then in the end, just proclaim the necessity, the sufficiency, and the exclusivity of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only hope, and without Christ, then none of this really matters. More than ever, we need to be about the Lord's business.
That is so well said, Mike. And it's interesting when you have Christians who are willing to stand up and be discerning, how many other Christians will then have courage to be able to stand with you. I've seen so much of that over the years. Nobody wants to be the first one to say something, but once somebody actually is willing to say something, hey, that isn't right, that isn't biblical, that can't be tested by Scripture and be approved, then it encourages other believers as well to stand firm on God's word for the purity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, Mike Gendron, always great to have you, Mike. ProclaimingTheGospel.org is Mike Gendron's great website. Check it out. And you can also check out, as I mentioned, Mike's DVDs on the death of discernment and the best kept secret in the church. Mike, God bless you. Keep up the good work. It was wonderful to have you here again.
Blessings to you, Janet. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to be on your show. Keep standing for the truth.
You too, brother. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you for listening to Janet Mefford Today. We'll see you next time.